1, 2, 3. Hey, good afternoon, everybody, or good evening, or good morning, whatever it is you're listening to this episode of Tell the Damn Story. Chris isn't here this time, and as you can tell from my voice, I'm not 100% here either. A lot's been going on. It's the holiday season. Some family matters have come up for both of us. Work matters have come up for both of us. So we're juggling a number of plates, spinning plates for those of you who have that sort of memory, number of spinning plates in the air here. So I'm going to give you sort of a, what would I call this? A rain day kind of episode. With Chris not being available for this one, I'm going to answer five more key questions that come up. And again, forgive my voice. I'm going to do it as best I can. If the answers I give to some of these questions that you've asked are not detailed enough, please feel free to write in or comment and ask for more specifics, and I'll be happy to do that, or be happy to point you in the direction of a book or some other information that might be useful to you. Okay? But, wow, this is going to be an interesting one. Here we go. Let me just take another sip here. Let me just get started. First question is, how do I set aside or find consistent writing time? Now, there's a number of different ways of looking at this. One, it's how committed are you to writing? Are you doing it for yourself, for fun? Are you exploring it and just testing the waters? Or are you actually trying to develop your writing skills for school or for some sort of administrative or educational position? Or do you really want to make writing a career move, either fiction or nonfiction? So I think the first thing to do is get an idea of what's your goal. What are you aiming for? What are you trying to accomplish? Having said that, I would say if you really want to increase your writing experience and your writing skills, you have to be deliberate, right? You have to look at it as, okay, every day I'm going to do this exercise, this warm-up, this routine, so that I keep getting stronger at this thing that I'm doing, at this muscle I'm trying to develop. So again, set aside a certain amount of time every day to write. 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour, whatever works best for you as a starting point. Maybe you're not trying to write a novel or even short stories at this point. Maybe what you just want to do is set aside 15 minutes a day where you just write stream of consciousness, meaning write whatever is on your mind or whatever you feel at that moment, and keep a journal. Again, you're working the muscle. You're exercising the muscle. Both the routine is a muscle, but also how you approach it in your head. If you're looking at it, oh God, I got to write, that's going to affect your output. If you're looking at it, okay, it's my 15 minutes or my 20 minutes or my half hour, I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to write whatever comes to mind. It's not about perfection. It's not about spelling. It's not about any other thing. It's just about taking the thoughts, the feelings, whatever, observations, and putting it down on paper. So if you come at it that way, you may find that over time, it just flows. When that time period comes, whether it's the same hour every day or just the same amount of time every day, when you get into that zone, it flows. Sometimes it may be 6 words. Sometimes it could be 60 or 600. Don't set a quota. The only goal is to write for that specific period of time. So that's one. I often have mentioned over the course of our 289, almost 290 episodes, that there are a number of writers out there who would get up very early in the morning before they have to go to work or before they have to get their family ready for school or whatever. And that would be a certain period of time, an hour, 2 hours, where they set aside every morning, or at least every morning, Monday through Friday, to do their writing. So that's another one. You can dedicate your lunch hour to it, half hour of your lunch hour, however you want to look at that. You can also do it after everybody goes to bed in the evening, if you feel the energy or if you like the calm, the quiet. Sometimes I used to call myself the midnight writer because it would be something around 11 or 12 o'clock at night where the city was, it just felt quieter. There was less distractions, less impulse and things coming at me, less imagery and phone calls and all that. just quieter. And that seemed to be the time when I wanted to write. And instead of getting sleep, I'd be up for another 2 hours going at it. Sometimes it's where do you feel the most inspired or comfortable to do this? After everybody's gone to bed, before everybody gets up in the morning, at a lunch break, whatever. And the last thing I would suggest is think about the environment that most stimulates you. All right. Is it a park or someplace outdoors? Is it a quiet room? Is it the bathroom with the door locked and you're in there? Is it a cafe or a coffee shop? Someplace where when you get to that space, you feel, yeah, I'm here. This is where I can get my work done, or this is where I can express myself. Sometimes it's on a moving vehicle. I live in a major city, so sometimes I write on the train while I'm traveling from point A to point B. If it's a half hour ride or an hour ride, I've got the time. I'm not doing anything else other than maybe observing the people around me, being conscious of that. But once I'm sitting down and I know the train is going to get me there, I can zone into my writing mode, my muses, as it were, and just get some words down, a sentence, a paragraph, a bit of dialogue. Observations, clothing references, ideas, plots, all of these things are legitimate for you to create within the writing time. Okay? And I hope that gave you some ideas regarding that particular question. Okay, so our next question is, how do you stay focused on writing assignments that don't inspire you? Oh boy. Okay, that's a goodie because some writers, especially aspiring and emerging writers, we look at it as, oh my goodness, the muses. I want to write this book about such and such. I want to make these comments about this issue, or I want to educate people on such and such, or I have this fantastic world I want to show in my story and take people there and entertain or inspire or scare the bejeebers out of folks. Those are all things that are an inner inspiration. It's your own personal goal, it's something you're passionate about or excited about. It's got its own fuel base. But if you're going to be in this business as a career, or if you're going to get assignments where you have to write articles or essays or things like that, you're not always going to be inspired. You're not always going to want to spend a lot of time commenting on that particular topic. And so there are a few ways of looking at this. Pardon me while I take another sip. Hopefully the hot fluids are helping. All right. And if you're looking at this as a business thing, one is your reputation. If you get a reputation for not being able to deliver, not being able to write quality work or do quality work when you're assigned that work, when you have a topic that you're not that interested in, then people aren't going to call on you for that. And that's going to limit your possible range of opportunity. Now, again, if that's not a problem for you, if you don't care about that, then fine. But if you're trying to build a reputation for being a professional writer, being a good writer, delivering, then you're going to want to be able to take whatever topic you're assigned, do it. You want to be able to take it and look at it as a professional assignment, meaning you're going to give your 100% just minus your passionate commitment. So there's a certain amount of discipline. You know that you have to outline your work or at least work out the details of it. So you're going to do some writing there. You may have to do a certain amount of research to get maybe some ideas and inspirations that way. And then you have to accomplish a certain amount of work every day, if you have days or weeks to work on this, or within a certain amount of hours, if that's all you have. So you have to break it down. Idea, outline it or bullet point the key points of the story. Do whatever, again, if you only have an hour or two to do this, do some minimal research, get some other ideas to stimulate, and then break it down into segments so it's beginning, middle, and end, and then start writing it. And as Chris will often say, let it suck. Don't worry about perfection, or don't worry about getting it all right or getting all the elements in that first draft, that very rough draft. Just write the thing out of your head and onto a flat surface, either a digital surface or a book and paper. And once you get it there, once you have that rough draft, then you take a moment, a break, a few minutes, an hour, whatever, and then you go back to it and you start to clean it up. And that's another thing. Timetables will affect how well you can handle an assignment that's not inspiring to you. If you have a matter of days, then you're going to have to, again, map out. What do you have to accomplish in those days in order to hit your deadline? And then make sure you hit those various points. Because again, you're not in love with this assignment. This is a job. And you have a duty to turn in this job by a specific time. So again, break it down into smaller chunks and know that you have to accomplish a certain amount of those elements at certain times, right? And then you work with that. That's a timetable. Find points of interest that do fascinate you. Okay, that's another thing. Hold on a second. Another drink here. Okay, find points of interest. There are sometimes stories that, again, the overall concept is not, doesn't electrify me, but there are little moments and things, or a little, maybe a certain amount of dialogue or certain characters that I do find fun or interesting or fascinating. And so I focus on that for the enjoyment of the assignment. But again, the assignment is the assignment. Break it down into its steps and hit each one of those steps as you go, beginning, middle, end. Okay. I think I would probably say that you want to try and find out what makes the topic interesting to the audience you're writing for, and maybe see it from their point of view. I am not into mathematics at all. And I was a terrible student in school with math. Basic math, yes. When I got into algebra and trigonometry and calculus, oh boy, forget it. And I'm not an unintelligent individual, but it just wasn't my thing. By the same token, if I have to write something that involves someone who's into mathematics, or I have to write something about a mathematic topic, then I have to understand that the audience I'm writing for is interested in it. And then I have to find what's cool about mathematics, or what's cool about this area of mathematics, and appreciate that so that I get specific with that, so that I can add some juice to the piece there and see it from that point of view. And even for myself, I can trick myself and say, calculating numbers or formulas in order to come up with an answer, a sum, an equation, is a little bit like solving a puzzle or solving a mystery. So I could look at it as a mystery, as a puzzle that has to be solved. And that's an area that I am intrigued by or interested in or have fun with. And that's a way that I can juice myself a bit and get into it. So giving yourself whatever little moments you can find, or you can insert into the story, into the work that you're enjoying, or that make it much more pleasurable to do. So that's another thing. But the bottom line is, it's an assignment. You have to do it. You've accepted the assignment. You're going to get paid, or you're going to get some recognition for it. So your reputation's on the line. Maybe your bank account is on the line. And certainly you want to deliver a quality job. I didn't say anything about perfection. I said you want to deliver a quality job that serves the purpose, serves the client, and serves your reputation. So again, look at these things: timetable, discipline. What elements interest you? What elements interest the audience? These are things that you can use to help you get through. Okay. So that's that one. Another sip. Okay. How to choose the best or the right plot? That's a good one. The best plots for me, I can only really speak for myself. If Chris were here, he would be able to share some of his points, and I can think of some of the people we've interviewed, but I'll start with me. For me, the best plots are the ones that I do get juiced on. I go, ooh, that's fascinating. That would be cool. That I have a reaction to it that says, yes, this will interest me. This is fun. This is exciting. This is clever. This is cool. This is scary. My audience is going to like this. They're going to enjoy this. That's the best plot. Is it always the right one? Depends on what I'm trying to accomplish. It depends on what's your goal. If you're doing it for an exercise, coming up with a plot that you're interested in that has some unique elements that fascinate you, that's the right plot. That's a good plot. Go for it. If you're trying to enter a contest or win somebody's approval for an assignment, then you want to pick a genre or a topic or a plot that applies to what they're going to be interested in. So if you want to work for a magazine, or you want to write for a publisher who does horror stories, submitting romantic comedy material is not necessarily going to win you any points. Submitting plots that revolve around horror, yes. Submitting plots that maybe have a romantic comedy element, but is going to have to deal with a horrific a scenario or some sort of monster, that works for you. So you want to pick the right genre. You want to think about who's the audience that you're going after. You want to also think about how much knowledge do I have about this particular topic? If you're writing, I love mystery, so I'll use that again as a as an example. If you're writing a mystery story about a heist, big Ocean's 11 type heist, well, that's exciting. It's going to have a lot of characters in it. You're going to have some cool gadgets and things like that and some clever moments. But you have to ask yourself, what do I know about any of this? If it's going to take place on a big ocean liner, what do I know about ocean liners? What do I know about the procedures, the crew, the staff? How does it handle once it's out in the middle of the ocean? What's that like? What kind of people take ocean voyages? What kind of characters can I generate that would seem authentic for this backdrop? And then for the crime, what skill sets and tools do the culprits need to have in order to pull this off? And what do I know about that? So you have to think about how much research you're going to have to do versus how much knowledge you already have and how much time you have to put this whole thing together. If you're writing a novel and you've got months or a year or so, then yeah, you have time to do research. You have time to write several drafts. You have time to really hone in on all the elements that might be questionable and really get them right. But if you're trying to hit a short window of opportunity, if your deadline is only a few weeks away, then you have to gauge how much work is it going to take to get your story from idea to finished draft. And do you have time enough to do additional research? So that's your innate knowledge versus research knowledge that you'd have to pull together. And again, I just said also your timetable. So think about what do I know? What ideas or plot concepts are coming to me that seem interesting and fascinating? And yeah, I'd really like to get into it. Think about an audience. Who are you writing this for? Not the people who hire you, or maybe the people you're hoping are going to buy it, but what kind of people would be interested in this kind of story, right? What kind of genre, all of that. And then what do you know? What do you already know versus what do you have to do some research on? And then how much time do you have to pull this all off? These are things that often come to mind when I'm trying to determine what kind of a story I want to do, what would be the right idea, the right plot to follow up on. Again, I hope that's of some use to you. I'm going to take another sip of this hot beverage, which is not as hot as it was when I started. All right, next question. Let's see, what does it say here? How do I write a story that's based on my own experiences and not give away too much personal information? I also think that Chris and I have commented on this a few times before. If you've heard this before, bear with me because I'm going to say it again. We as writers tend to write some of ourselves into our work. That's just a given. Sometimes a character is very much like ourselves, or sometimes we give other characters within the story some elements of things we've actually experienced, or some family member or loved one has experienced. So we are giving away a certain amount of information hidden under the mask or the tarp of a totally different character. We're not saying this happened to me, oh, this is happening to Jamal or Shaniqua or Diane or whomever, right? But when you're going to write about something heavy or something very real, a real experience that you've gone through that maybe was challenging and maybe had a down ending or put a number of people in an awkward and embarrassing position, you have to decide, okay, A, how much of that experience is mine? Because you get to say what of your life you want to reveal in your work. You have total call on that. But then you have to think about, well, okay, if it's my life and this happened to me, who was around me when this was going on? And do I have the right to involve them? So that's a question. If it happened to somebody else, now that's a bigger one because do you have their permission to take that circumstance that happened to them and put it into a fictitious story and disguise the character and everything? But still, you're going to be taking an event that they experience and putting it out in a public forum. So you may want to get their okay on that or make sure they're not going to be offended or upset when that happens. It's a tricky thing, but it's really about, for me anyway, it's about trying not to damage other people for the sake of a story I want to do. It's about how much of my own personal experience do I want to reveal to the general public, because I'm not obligated to give away all or any for that matter. It's an ethical question if you're telling a tale about somebody else. Ethically, you should not do that without their permission. You should care about whether or not this is going to have a negative impact on them, make them uncomfortable or angry or whatever. And so ethically, you would want to go to them and say, look, this is what I'm thinking of doing. How do you feel about that? But if they give you permission, then okay, you're going to write the material in a rough draft or a first draft, and then you're going to share it with the people whose lives you've pulled this element from, this experience from, and show them what you've done so that they can yet again go, yeah, I'm cool with it. Or, oh God, no, not that. No, oh geez, please don't do this or please don't do that. Because again, it's not about making enemies. It's about maintaining relationships respectfully, but also doing the job that the writer, in this case, you or I, are brought in to do, which is do a good job, to tell the story right, to serve the story. But in this case, also to serve either another person or to serve ourselves. How much of my life do I want to put out into the public forum? And what's private? Because I have a right to privacy. So that's one thing you can think about, or there's a couple of things you can think about. The other end of that is why are you doing it? If it's a self-help book of some sort, if it's a nonfiction piece, and you're trying to share this experience so that hopefully other people will feel like I'm not alone in this, or maybe what you went through and worked your way through will help other people work through their problem. So if you're trying to do it from that standpoint, okay, then that's great. That's you trying to help. And again, you'll determine how much of that you want to reveal or how much of your life experience you want to put out there. If you are doing this because there's some dollars to be made and it's a trend or something like that, and you just want to get something out there so you can ride that money train, then okay, it's a legitimate call. And I only can say that be prepared for whatever the consequences might be. Because again, my point of view, we are responsible for these choices that we make. And so if we choose to write about something, we don't get permission, we throw all the information out there and it hurts someone. Well, yeah, we did that. Now, are we liable for some sort of legal thing? I'm not a lawyer. I don't know anything about that. But I would definitely say, as a human being, ethically, we're responsible. We put it out there. So be prepared to deal with whatever the repercussions are. But if you want to be an ethical individual, if you're writing about yourself, know what you want to reveal. If you're writing about somebody else, get permission. Simple as that. And get it in writing, by the way. That's a whole nother thing about legalities and short-term memory and all that good stuff. Get it in writing. Okay, I think I have time for one more question here. It's a motive question. What's a good motive to write a story about? I see motives as fuel for characters to feed on as they go through the story, as they go on their journey. You do a story about, say, a young person who's left home at 17 or 18 years of age because the home life was horrible, was a nightmare. And they needed to prove themselves or get out there and be in a healthier environment, even though they had nowhere to go. Okay, that's a motive. That's a motive. Self-preservation is a motive. To find happiness is a legitimate motive. To get away from abuse and fear is a legitimate motive. And to then follow your character on their story arc to see what they do is a story worth telling. You want to set up their goal and you want to know why they're going to do what they're going to do. And then you also want to know how badly do they want to accomplish this thing? Some stories are about people who do something because their loved one is dying and they want to do this thing for their loved one before they go. Some people want to do something, they want to accomplish something because they've been ridiculed most of their lives and they want to prove everybody is wrong. And some other people want to do something because they want to do the right thing. They want to prove that there's still some good in the world. And that people still care, and we're not all negative and doomsday and all of that. There's a number of motives for why we write what we write and why our characters do what they do. In the olden days, a villain might simply do something because either they're greedy, they want more money or more power, or they're evil, they want to hurt people, they don't care about anybody but themselves, and they'll do whatever they have to do to get what they want. Those are very basic motives. There was not a lot of layering. But as our storytelling has become more sophisticated, I won't even say our society has, our society just expects more. But as our storytelling has become more sophisticated, we've layered the motives to where, as the phrase goes, almost every villain sees himself or herself as a hero. So I'm doing this terrible thing, but for the right reasons. That makes for an interesting bit of dialogue when you can hear a character justify their cruel and just vicious acts with what sounds like a reasonable explanation for their doing it. Again, was it Thanos in the movies? I don't think in the comic, but in the movies. Overpopulation. the worlds cannot sufficiently care for the amount of people that are here on these planets. So I'm going to get rid of half of all existence, and therefore the remaining half will have more than sufficient supplies to continue living and to have a decent life. Now, to annihilate half of all living forms in the universe is an obscene goal. It's heinous. It's horrible. But yeah, we are overpopulated. If you just look at Earth, yeah, we're just draining resources. We're not taking care of the planet. So, yeah, you could understand his justification, even though you may not agree with his methodology. Motives are key because once the audience buys into the motive of your character, then you can have room for all kinds of discussion among your audience members. Yeah, that makes sense because this and this. Yeah. Oh, no, that's crazy. You can have all kinds of interesting conversations, especially if you're dealing with social issues like race, politics, or abortion, or things like that, culture, religion. These are hot topics. And if you're doing a story that challenges some element of that, you're bound to have some interesting dialogue within your film or your book, but also within your audience or your readers. So, motive is key. So, choosing the right motive is key. Think about what's happening in your story, who it's happening to, who's doing it. So, what's being done to whom and why? What's the motive? And if the motive is weak or thin or non-existent, or they're just going to do it because they're going to do it because it's going to look cool, then you're going to wind up with a stereotypical situation, something that's going to be dissatisfying to your audience and possibly to you as a writer. You'll write and you'll start to see that some of the dialogue isn't gelling together and maybe you're having trouble moving the plot along and on. It's because you don't have enough foundation to really work with. You don't believe in your characters 100% and their motives are too thin or non-existent. But once your characters are more developed and you know why they're doing what they're doing and what their goal is, a good deal of the time, a third of your writing becomes easier. Sometimes a half of your writing becomes easier because the characters, in effect, tell you what they want and why they want it and what they're willing to do to get it. So character development is important, And developing the proper and legitimate or authentic motives for your character is super important. Okay, my voice is still here to some extent, but I think that's about as far as I can take it. Thank you for putting up with me. And I know Chris sends his regards, and we'll be back next time with the dynamic duo. And this is towards the end of 2023. I think we've got two more episodes to go in this year. So we will try and have at least one more guest. And of course, we'll also do a roundup of what's happened this year with our show, with the creative writing world and creativity in the world, what's come and what's gone. And we'd love it if you're here, and we'd love it if you would send in your thoughts, your questions, send more of them in so that we can respond to some of that too for 2023. Okay? In the meantime, thanks very much. Take care and continue to tell your own damn story.